Hey. What's up? What's up? Welcome. I am your girl, Pastor Courage Molina. Honest to God, you can just call me Courage. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad that you are here streaming with us or watching the replay on YouTube. Okay, let's get into this. Welcome. This is the Dose of Courage Community Church. This is the place where women fall in love with the Word of God. The assignment on this house is to authentically teach the Word of God so that it reflects His true character, so that it is relatable, and so that you can apply it to every area of your life, no matter the season. I cannot do this good work alone, right? Reaching ladies from coast to coast across the globe. I can't do this work by myself. I actually need your support. What are the ways that you can support what we do here? First of all, you can get equipped. You can get equipped. Now, I know this slide is wrong, y'all. This is the wrong slide, but that's okay. I don't want you to get this workbook that says John chapters 1 through 7, because this is week 4. And so this is our last week discussing. So starting on Monday, we are going to start discussing and studying John chapters 8 through 15. It's the same concept though. What I want you to do to help support the work that we're doing here is I need for you to get yourself trained. I need for you to be committed to your own growth in the Word. I need for you to hear a word from God. I need for you to have some structure in the time that you spend with God, not just something that you're checking off a list, but where you understand this time in the Word, studying the Word of God, it's really an opportunity for you to get to know Jesus. That's how you can support what we're doing here. Get to know Jesus for yourself. Get to know the Word of God. And sometimes that takes a little structure. It takes for us to be intentional, and consistent. It takes repetition. And the Bible study guide helps you to do that. So go ahead and get it. You can go to couragemolina.org/shop. Okay. Another thing you can do to support the work that we do here is pray. Like for real, for real. I'm not just saying for you to pray. I mean, pray, first of all, pray that I figure out a way to stop sweating as soon as we start. You know, I'm cool as a cucumber, and then I turn these lights on in here. It snowed in Charlotte today. My heater is not on, okay? And yet and still, I guess it's like fire shut up in my bones, right? That's how it feels. It feels like fire shut up in my bones. Another thing you can do is pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for me. Pray for leadership. I truly believe that prayer changes things. Have a conversation with God. Listen to what He says. But cover the people in your life in prayer. Cover yourself in prayer. And certainly cover the leadership of this church in prayer as well. You can also share the good news of the things that are going on here. If you are here and you've been here 1 week or 2 weeks, or you've been here before and you know that you are blessed in this space, then I want you to go ahead and share. We send out a graphic every single week that you can share. It's the same graphic. You can save it. You can screenshot this. You can take a picture of your TV screen and share it on your Instagram. Tag us at Courage Molina. Tag the church, Dose of Courage. Use the hashtag Courage Crusaders, because that's what we are here. We are women who are declaring war against fear, doubt, against complacency, against anything that does not stand in agreement with the Word of God. We are declaring war on that thing. So share this good news and tag us so that we can build the community here. You can also give a monetary gift. This work that we do requires financial resources, and that's just what it is. Requires financial resources. And so this is a great place for you to sow a seed. The Word of God says that, God gives seed to the sower. So where are you sowing? God tells us to bring our first fruits into the house. Bring the tithe into the house of God. This is a house of God. And see, won't He pour you out a blessing so much there won't be room enough to store? And so that's one way you can support us here, by giving a monetary gift. I want to thank Takara for her generosity. I want to thank Foa for her continued giving. Thank you, Laverta. Thank you, Nicole Sims. Thank you, Olivia. Thank you, Amber. Thank you, Jenny Outerwater out of Alaska. Hey, girl, hey. Thank you so much for your continued giving. Thank you, Sonara, for giving. There's so many of you that continue to give. Rosa Fernandez, thank you so much for giving. Charisse, thank you so much for giving. Maritza, thank you so much for giving. Now I know y'all don't give to give a shout out, but I want people to know that regular people are given to this place here, that because somebody else gave, you have the opportunity to get this word. We have the technology and the internet and the lighting and all the things so that you can get this word. So somebody gave so that you could have a seat, even though it may be a virtual seat, but somebody gave so that you could have the seat. And I'm going to call them by name. All right. So let's get into this word. So we've been studying for the month, the gospel according to John chapters 1-7. If you're new to Dose of Courage Community Church, this is your first time with us, again, welcome. But I want to break down the expectations of really how things work here. We are different by divine design. The Lord designed all this, and so we're a little different as a result. Here at this church, the expectation is that you as an individual, this is the expectation. This is the standard. I know that we talk about like, oh, this is Bible study, but real talk, this is church, okay? And here at this church, the expectation is that you as an individual, you as a member of the congregation, you as a member of the community being counted among the number of women that God is serving here, you who have decided to submit yourself under the leadership of this house, the expectation is that you are opening your Bible every single day that the Lord gives you breath, and you are studying the Bible for yourself. And so this month, we've all been concentrating on John chapters 1-7. I know a lot of times what happens in Christian culture is we go to church and the pastor's the only one studying all week. And then the pastor comes and give a word and you just take his or her word for it. That's not what we're doing over here. Everybody that comes to this house is expected to open up their book and read the word every day, right? So we've been focused on chapters 1-7. We understand that retention requires repetition, which is why we've read chapters 1-7 at least 4 to 5 times in the month of January so that we can get out all that God has for us, right, in this study. He has a revelation for you. He has a word for you. He has something for you in John chapters 1-7, and we want to make sure we get all of it. So we have to repeatedly read over and over again, slow down. We're not speeding through the word. We've slowed down a bit. And so that's been our focus for this month. This week, according to the Bold Method, this is week 4, we are going to focus on the do and declare. Right? We're going to focus on the do and declare. We know that it's not enough for us to be hearers of the word, but God has called us to also be doers of the word. We understand in this church that God is not speaking to be heard. He is speaking to be obeyed. He is telling you something. He is giving you something for instruction. You are praying for something, believing something, and he is responding to you with what you need to do, what you have to do, what he wants you to do, what he's equipped you to do, right? So that you can go out and do that thing. If we study the word of God, right, and we look at the promises of God, we understand that all the promises that we saw, or I should say like maybe 90% of the promises that we saw were connected to our obedience, to how we respond. We often say we want the blessings of Abraham, but we don't have the obedience of Abraham. And I understand that it's difficult to be obedient if I'm not in the word, if I don't understand the word, if we are unable to interpret the word in a way that we can understand the instruction that God has given us, it makes it difficult to do. That's why in this church, we spend time, I don't want to say attacking the word, but diving into the word the way that we do in a very strategic way. We are strategically studying this word. We are not haphazardly going from verse to verse and chapter to chapter. We are strategically studying the word because we understand that our instruction from God is in this word. And so this is week 4. And week 4 is when we consider all the things that we've heard, all the things that we've witnessed, all the things that we've learned. I've been getting so many messages from y'all via the DM, in the chat. Y'all are like, oh my gosh, you know, this word was for me. Oh, you were coming down my aisle today. Oh, you snatched my edges. Oh, you read me fulfilled. Like, I've been getting all these messages, and that's great. It's exciting. What that means, come on, Jesus. What that means is that I've done my job. That's what that means. If you got a revelation, you understood the word in the way that you could hear God speaking directly to you and directly to a situation that you've been waiting for some clarity on, or you've been waiting for some confirmation on, or some insight. If you got a revelation, that means I did my job. It means that I taught the word, I didn't get in the way, and I allowed God's message to come and speak through me directly. It means I did my job. It's exciting. It's exciting to get a revelation. It's exciting to get some clarity. But that just means I did my job. Now it is time for you to do your job. Because those revelations, those insights, that confirmation, that, oh my gosh, you were spot on. Oh, this word is for me. Being able to recognize that means that you now have an assignment. It means that God has given you some type of action to do. He is telling you to do things differently. There's a change in your perspective, in your attitude, in your behavior. There's something that you need to start. There's something that you need to stop. There's something that you need to launch. There's something that you need to support. God is giving you instruction, right? And so now is the time for us to focus on the work that God is calling us to do as a result of the revelation. What I want to do as quickly as I can, right? I'm already saying I ain't going to be before you long. I'm going to really try, like real talk, to really get through this. Hold up. Anytime the pastor say I ain't going to be before you long, they be lying. I'm a pastor. Obviously, I ain't going to be before you long. Then we 2 hours in. And what I want to do is I just want to bust through this review, right? The first week of John chapters 1-7, we focused on bearing witness, right? That's the B in bold, right? The bold study method is an acronym, and the B for bold is bear witness. And so that's what we did the first week. We just looked at the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. We saw that God became human, right? The Apostle John shows us that Jesus's beginning does not start with the Christmas story, but he was with God in the beginning, that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Word, that Jesus is the Word made flesh, that he's the true light, and that Jesus comes from the Father, which makes sense because the goal of the Apostle John is to help the readers of that time, the Christians of that time, recognize that Jesus wasn't just a prophet. Jesus wasn't just a teacher. That Jesus was, in fact, God, is, in fact, God, that he came from God, and that he is the much anticipated and waiting and awaited for Messiah. Why? So that they could believe in him and have eternal life. That was the whole purpose of John writing this gospel. Now, there were lots of gospels written about Jesus. Not all of them made it into the Bible, just so you know. That's just a little side note. Not all of the gospels written about Jesus made it into the Bible, and they didn't all have the same objective, but John's objective was to show that Jesus was the true Messiah, the Messiah that had been prophesied about in the scriptures, in the law of Moses, in the Torah, for those that were of the Jewish faith, so that you would believe in him and have eternal life, right? That was the purpose. And so what we also see in John's chapters 1-7 is that John the baptizer, the one who was baptizing folks, was called to be a light, to make a way for the one who is the light, not a light, but for the one who is the light. He taught people, he baptized people, and he was able to identify Jesus as the Lamb of God when he saw him, right? Jesus got some disciples when his ministry started. He did some teaching in the temple. He clears the temple courts. He teaches about being born again. He teaches that he's the true blood. He teaches about a spiritual harvest, about eternal life. He teaches about why some hate the light. He does a lot of teaching, right? And he teaches with an authority. Jesus also performs miracles in these first 7 chapters. We see that he turns water to wine. He heals the official son. He helps the lame man walk, heals him on the Sabbath in front of the religious elite. Child, he was doing the most. He feeds the 5,000. And we also see Jesus walk on water in these first seven chapters. We also recognize and are able to see in these first seven chapters that some people believe that Jesus is the Messiah and some have doubts. John the Baptist and his disciples, they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Those that received or witnessed the miracles, they saw Jesus as the Messiah. Nicodemus, who was a part of the Sanhedrin, he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. The Samaritan woman believed, and then as a result, also the Samaritans. But there were those who doubted. And Jesus tells us it's okay that they doubt. They can't believe unless they are drawn to me by God. Right? They have to know God in order to be able to recognize me. The religious leaders, while they knew scripture, they didn't necessarily know God. So they had doubt that Jesus was the Messiah. There were some that heard some hard teachings. How many of you have heard a hard teaching in church? And you're like, oh, I don't know if that came from the Lord. I know that's what the pastor said, but I don't know. Or somebody on social media says, and it was a hard teaching, and you're like, I just don't believe it. Well, Jesus did not shy away. Excuse me. Jesus did not shy away from hard teachings, but as a result, some doubted him. We moved on to week two, where we looked at the observations. This is not so much interpretation for us. This is really getting an understanding of what it meant for them. What it meant for the people who were involved in the events, what it meant for the original audience, not what it meant to you. Did nobody say it to you? John, excuse me, John the Apostle didn't know you. He was not writing this to you. I know it's for you, but it wasn't to you. So we have to see what it meant for them. And the reason we have to see what it meant for them is because we cannot make it mean today what it never meant. You understand what I'm saying? When we go from the scripture and immediately jump to interpreting it for present day, it can get a little muddy, can get a little dusty. It can be sand and not rock. Why? Because we will sometimes make the word mean today what it could have not, it never could have meant that at the time that it was written. And I know that we hear about interpretation and it's all in how we interpret. That's true. How we respond to the word of God does depend on how we interpret it. I will give you that 100%. And it is possible for us to all read the Bible and for us to all have different interpretations. It is impossible. I'm going to say that again. It is impossible, however, that we would read the same scripture, all have different interpretations, and all of our interpretations be correct. That's impossible, because when a person communicates, we have to understand that the word of God, when we are studying the Bible, these are actual people. John the Apostle is not some figurehead, this mythical thing. He was an actual human being who sat down and wrote out the gospel. Okay. The conversations that he illustrates and displays happen between actual people. So when Jesus said things, he had a meaning behind the things that he said. So when we interpret it, right interpretation is the interpretation that reflects what Jesus meant when he said it, not what I think he meant, not what I feel like he should have meant, not what I thought, what my pastor said. It ain't none of that. The only thing it can mean is what Jesus meant for it to mean at the time. Imagine somebody recording your conversation, maybe the last conversation you had, and then 2,000 years from now, that conversation being played for people who are 2,000 years away in culture, technology, environment, just understanding, right? There are 2,000, not just 2,000 calendar years, but worlds apart as it relates to culture and societal norms and societal views and belief system. When you read, though, when they hear that conversation, if they filter it through their today mind, they might alter what you meant in that conversation. Does it make it an accurate interpretation? No. Because the last conversation you had, you said what you meant and you meant what you said. And it doesn't matter who hears it 2,000 years from now and what they think you meant or what. The only thing that matters is what you actually meant when you said it, right? And so that's the part that we get to when we're in week two. We get to the observation is light work interpretation, but we are interpreting the meaning that was meant for them. Application is, what does it mean for me, right? Interpretation is, what did it mean for them? What was the lesson for them? And so the observations, what were some of the, what did it mean for them? It meant for new Christians, for new converts, for people who were seeking a way, who weren't sure which way to go. What did it mean for them? It helped them to see that Jesus wasn't like John the Baptist, that Jesus wasn't like Moses, that Jesus wasn't like their father Abraham, that Jesus wasn't like the saints of old Joshua, whose story began on earth. It helped them to see a distinction from great men of faith. It helped them to see the distinction between great men of faith and God himself, right? Because Jesus is God. He's not like the prophet Moses. He's not like the leader Joshua. He's not like the leader Joseph. He's not like the father of their faith and the father of what they believed in, Abraham. Jesus came before David, right? Because Jesus was with God in the beginning. In the beginning at the Genesis. So for the readers of that time who knew Moses, who knew of Moses, who had studied the scripture, who believed that David, that Jesus would come through David's bloodline, and he did technically his human body on earth. But John needed them to understand that Jesus isn't like the other prophets or the other teachers or the other leaders. While he was born here, that was not his origin, his beginning. In the beginning, he was with God. This Jesus that you know, that you see walking, is the Word became flesh. It is the manifestation of God's promises. That is what the Apostle Paul wants the people to know, right? What else does he want them to know? What else did they learn during this time? They could see those involved with Jesus, those who witnessed Jesus, those who were around him, could see that the people who could recognize him as the Messiah were the people who knew God. So the people who had a relationship with God, not just the scripture. Some of us have relationship with the scripture. We know the Word in that way. We can say scripture. We have so many scriptures memorized. We could just be telling people scriptures all the time. But sometimes we don't know God. We know the Word, but we don't know God. When you know God, we can see this, that they were able to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. We saw it with John the Baptist. We saw it with his disciples. We saw it with Nicodemus. We also saw that Jesus was committed to his purpose over everything. Even when they wanted to make him king, which sounds great and wonderful, sounds like a step up, he was like, no, I'm good. It's not what I came for. Even when they wanted him to take the stage before it was his time, he was like, no, I'm not about to do that. That ain't what I came for. His purpose and his relationship with God is what dictated his steps. We often say we want to be like Jesus, right? We often say that we want to be like Jesus, but we don't study him in a way where we can imitate his habits and his behaviors. If I want to be like Jesus, I imitate. My pastor, Pastor Stephen Furtick, I go to Elevation Church. Shout out. Yes, pastors go to church too. And so he would say, you know, he would talk about the importance of understanding, the importance of understanding the relationship, right, between God and Jesus, right? He talked about, you know, he wanted to be a speaker, right? He wanted to be a pastor. He decided he wanted to be a pastor. He said, you know what he did? He was like, he watched all these sermons by some pastor. He just watching all the sermons. And when he was younger, he would imitate them. Right. There are so many singers, pop singers right now, who say that they got their dance style from Michael Jackson. When they were kids, what do? They watched Michael Jackson dance and they imitated him. Jesus tells us, right, that I do what my Father does because of my relationship with him. I'm doing what he's doing. We here are saying we want to be like Jesus. Come on. We here are saying we want to be like Jesus. It means that we have to study him in a way that we can imitate him. And one of the things that we can see is his purpose and his relationship with God is what directed his path. It's what dictated his relationships. It's what informed his decisions. It's what colored his conversations. I wonder what's coloring your conversations. I wonder what's dictating your decisions. Is it your purpose and your relationship with God? Or is it your responsibilities? Is it what the naysayers are saying? Is it your feelings? Are your doubts dictating? But if we're going to be like Jesus, it means that our purpose and our relationship with God is the thing that should lead our path, that should have an impact on our relationships, that should inform our decisions. They also could see that Jesus knew everything. He knew everything about the woman at the well. He knew where Nathanael was. He knew what the Pharisees were thinking. He knew what they were plotting. He knew what they, Jesus knew everything. We could see that. And so some of you got some revelations. Let me pull up these comments. Some of you got some revelations during this month. You got some insight. You got a breakthrough. Some of you got some of that, right? You got all of that. So now we're talking about the lessons that you learned, because you looked at these observations and it was like, oh, it taught you something. It taught you something new about Jesus. It taught you something new about people. It taught you something new about yourself. It taught you something new about life, right? You got these breakthroughs, these ahas, these wonderings. This is where we start to take the interpretation and process it so we can start to apply it. So what are some lessons that we learned? That Jesus sees us, that he knows us, right? And that he calls us by name. That's a lesson we learned. That Jesus, just like he saw them, just like Jesus had the power to see Nathanael and knew that he was a man without deceit, just like Jesus could look at the Pharisees and knew that their hearts weren't really in what they were saying, just like Jesus could see the woman at the well and knew that she was, how she was living, right? Jesus, just like he knew them, Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday. That means that Jesus knows and sees you too. Jesus called Simon Peter, changed his name, called him by name according to the purpose and the identity that he had for him. Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday. That means he's not calling you by your labels either. He's calling you by your name as well. We learned that Jesus gets involved where he's invited. Where they invited him to come and make wine, where they invited him to heal his son, where they invited him to feed the people, where Jesus was invited, he got involved. It wasn't based on really the importance or the severity of a situation. He was involved in the small things like wine and the big things like saving somebody's child. You understand what I'm saying? He was also involved in meeting physical needs. He met their... Sometimes we just be out here being so saved and so sanctified. The only thing we're asking for are spiritual things. We know good and doggone well that we have some physical things, some natural things that we need God to get involved with, where we need a blessing. When you invite him, he gets involved. They invited him to figure out the food situation, and he provided physical, natural blessings for. And it's the same, that same Jesus that fed the 5,000 is the same Jesus that can feed the five of you in your house. I don't know who that's for, but I hope you got it. We also learned that you got to go directly to Jesus. We saw that anybody who wanted to get to know Jesus had to go directly to him. Not today, pastor, not today, homegirl, not today, grandma, not today, sister. They had to go directly to Jesus. I'm not saying you can't get some help. You can't get some assistance. I'm not saying that a person can't take you to Jesus. Andrew took Simon Peter to Jesus. That's how Peter got to know Jesus for himself. He took him, the Samaritan woman, took the Samaritans and brought them to Jesus, right? So there might be somebody in your life that is bringing you, inviting you, introducing you to Jesus, right? Maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's your cousin, maybe it's your homegirl. That's cool. But if you want to get to know him for yourself, you're going to have to go directly to him. You're going to have to spend time with him. We saw that. That's a lesson that we learned, that those that got to know Jesus were the ones who went directly to him for themselves. We also got to see that Jesus will meet us where we are. He will meet you in your mess. This idea that you got to clean up your life. I know somebody told you that. They lied. We in the word. Somebody told you that you had to get your life. You better get your life. You better do that, and then come to God. No, you better go to God a mess, hungover, hair a mess, little vomit on your mouth. You better go to God a mess, gotten and bopping in the street, hoeing, not doing right. You better go to God a mess, stealing time from your job, not doing what you're supposed to do. You better go to the Lord in your mess, cheating on your spouse, cheating on your taxes. You better go to Jesus right now. Don't be waiting to get your life together to go. That is not in the word. What we saw is that Jesus will meet you where you are. He met that woman in the well in her mess. And he used her there. Somebody told you you couldn't be used because you ain't living right. Listen, I'm just saying what the word say. Listen, you hear what I'm saying? I ain't telling y'all to stay out here doing your thing. But I'm just saying, I can't. This ain't my word. I didn't write it. You know what I'm saying? And so while I personally encourage Molina, if you're going to be teaching me something, I personally want you to have your life together first. Me. Personally. You understand what I'm saying? That's me, though. Yes, that's me. That's not a requirement of the Lord, though. This is just my flesh. And what do I know? I didn't die for you, wouldn't die for you, wouldn't send none of my kids to die for you neither. You understand what I'm saying? So this you can't follow. It can't be based on what I would do or what I would like to see. I would like to see people have their life together before they out here doing me. Courage, Molina. That's not my spirit talking. That's my judgmental flesh talking. And the Lord gonna get me right. But I don't make decisions based on my flesh because I think that I want you to get your life together before you come preaching to me. That's me. The Lord will meet you where you are and he will use you where you are. He met her where she was in her mess, in a relationship where she was shacking up. Five men she had been with were not her husband. He spoke a word to her right there and used her to go and evangelize. Come on. Used her to evangelize to her whole community. Her whole community came to know Jesus in that moment because she didn't wait to go. She didn't put down her water jug and say, well, let me go to this house and break up with this man first. Let me go to this house and marry this man. She didn't do that. She was like, dropped her stuff, what she was in the middle of doing. And she just went and the Lord used her right there. But I had a little caveat and I say that he will meet you where you are, not where you stay. I don't want to give you the impression that you can stay there, right? We can't stay there. When we decide that we're going to follow God, when we decide we're going to be used by God, then we have to open ourselves up to change. We don't need to worry about how quickly other people think you need to change. I'm not worried about how quickly other people think I need to be changed. I need to be better by now. I'm not worried about that because it's me and Jesus every day. It's me and my Lord and Savior every day. And every day I'm becoming more like him and less like me. Somebody say hallelujah. Okay. Every day I'm becoming more like him and less like me. Every single day, I pick up my cross and I follow Jesus. Every single day, I die daily. This flesh is dying every day. Not at the rate that you think. You think that by now, I should not. It's okay, cool. Somebody right now, your family, your cousin, they think that you should be further along in Christ. That's not your business. Don't worry about what these folks is doing, thinking. God gonna use you where you are. He gonna meet you where you are. He's gonna use you where you are. And when you commit your life to him, you're gonna grow at the rate that he got you growing at. I diligently seek the Lord. So maybe you think I should be learning faster, but maybe I'm a slow learner. And me and the Lord, we okay with that. Jesus will use you where you are. He will meet you where you are. God knows when you've given up. Right? Some of you pretend like you got faith in something. We saw one of the lessons that God knows when we've given up. God knows when we have given up the hope and the faith that we have accepted a situation or a circumstance. He can tell about what we pray, about what we ain't praying. He can see in our face. That's why we asked the man at the pool, do you want to be healed? We think, well, of course he wanted to be healed. Well, did he? Did he believe that it was possible after 38 years of sitting there? Did he believe that it was possible? Did he feel like a victim, like it was unfair? Everybody else was getting healing and now I ain't never gonna get my healing. It's unfair. Everybody else out there getting married. Now you ain't never gonna get married. You ain't even fasting and praying about marriage no more. You ain't even fasting and praying about finding a man no more. You ain't even fasting and praying about starting your business no more. You ain't even fasting and praying about writing no book no more. You ain't even fasting and praying about being completely healed no more. You ain't even fasting and praying about your marriage being restored no more. You just done. You just accepted it. You would like it on some level, right? Like, oh, I would like it. But the Lord asked him, do you want to be healed? He knows when you've given up hope. Another lesson we saw is that Jesus brings the increase. There was just a little bit with the, it was just a little bit of the fish and the bread. And they brought the fish and the bread to Jesus. It wasn't the fish and the bread that was special. Jesus brought the increase. Even though our focus is chapters 1-7, we can see that when they were out of wine in John chapter 2, there was no wine. Jesus brought the increase. It wasn't anything special about the water. It wasn't anything special about the situation. Was what they took to Jesus, right? Jesus brought the increase. We also saw that God gives us supernatural insight, knowledge, skill, and talents and gifts for our purpose. When they heard how Jesus spoke, they were like, how does he speak? Like, he don't have no formal training. Some of y'all are waiting on formal training for something that God has blessed you with. Some of y'all are waiting to launch businesses. Some of y'all are waiting to start coaching. Some of y'all are waiting to start ministries until you get all these credentials. But the truth is, you have an insight to God's word. The truth is, you have an insight to finances. You have an insight to health and wellness that you didn't get from being in school or getting certified, but you have it. And instead of waiting for a credential, you can start serving people right now. I'm not knocking education. I'm a nurse nerd. I study, I read, I take courses all the time. I'm a textbook reader on my own all the time. I sign up for programs, but I'm not waiting until then to get started. So, you know that you have the insight. You know that you have the anointing. You know that you have the gift, the talent, the skill, and you realize that your gifts and your talents and skill really, I mean, outweigh some of the people that's got education. It doesn't make any sense to you. It's because God gives us insight and skill and talent supernaturally for our purpose, right? So this week we are focusing on the do. I put it up here already. We're focusing on the do and declare. And so it's a little shorter today because what happens on the fourth week is we come together on Zoom like we do every week, but this is about action. So I want you to think of week four. I want you to think of week four as a review and then a strategy session, right? It's one of the things that makes us different because you get a revelation from God about something and you hear that you're supposed to, you know, start this business. He gave you this business idea, or he gave you this business strategy, or this idea for a book, or this idea for your family, or this idea for your health, or this idea for your, like, he gave you something during your time in the word. And it's like, okay, I heard you, but what I'm about to do now, right? So in this Zoom discussion, we're talking about what God wants you to do, and not on some super high spiritual level. We're talking about practical steps, things that I can put into action, something I can put on my calendar. What is it that God wants me to do? God wants me to trust. That's the thing I hear all the time. It's such a cop out answer. I'm so rude. I'm sorry. But it's kind of a cop out answer. Like, oh, the Lord wants me to trust him more. And you just got that because you just read this. You didn't know that before you read John chapters 1-7 that the Lord wanted you to trust him. Really? Huh. That's interesting. As my friend Olivia says all the time, that's interesting. Okay, maybe that's right. Maybe you're starting with, oh, God wants me to trust him more. Okay, but what does that look like? He wants you to trust him more where? He wants you to trust him more with what? He wants you to trust him more how? What will you be doing day to day that is a reflection of the trust that you have in God? Oh, he wants me to have faith. Okay, what does that look like? What will you be doing and saying from day to day that shows? Jesus' brother James said faith without works is dead. So you got a revelation. You believe you heard from God. But what are you going to do? What are your deeds? What are the deeds that are a reflection of your faith? I believe God is telling me he's going to save my marriage. Okay, that's exciting. What does he want you to do? Does he want you to shut up? Does he want you to give more? Does he want you to pray more? Does he want you to get in counseling? Because that's something you can put on your planner. That's something you can do. What does God want you to do? He wants you to take action. So you got a revelation this week. You got a revelation this month. Cool. Knowing is half the battle. The other half of the battle is putting one foot in front of the other and doing the work. I know that sometimes work looks like rest, but a lot of times work looks like work. I know sometimes work looks like rest, but a lot of times work looks like work. Peter believed, I know this is not chapters 1-7, but here it is. Peter believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't believe that Jesus was a fisherman. Okay, so when he was on that boat and he had been on that boat all night long and he got a word from God, somebody got a word from God, drop in the chat if you got a word from God. If you got a word from God this month in studying with us, I want you to write in the chat right now. I want you to declare it right now. I got a word from God. Type it in the chat. Type it in the chat. I got a word from God. Peter got a word from God. Now, a lot of times when we say that we got a word from God, it's like, oh, I got a word from God. But a word really is instruction. If you got a word from God, you got instruction. You understand what I'm saying? He's telling you to do so. You got a word from God. Like, oh, I got a word from God. You got a word from God. Type it in the chat. I got a word from God. Peter got a word from God. And the word that Peter got from God was, let your nets down again. And Peter was like, I know he teach the Bible or whatever. That's cool. But you're not really no fisherman. So I already tried that. Is that what Peter did? No, that's what you did. That's what you did. Let me mind my business. Peter, let me mind my business. Let me teach and mind my business. I'm really trying to drink water and mind my business. I ain't coming for y'all today. That's not how Peter responded. When Peter had been out, because he was a professional fisherman at the time, that was the best time according to the statistics and the data of fishing and the type of fish and the temperature. When Peter had gone out at the time where most people are most successful, when he went out at the time into the place where he had seen success before, when he went out there, I mean, he was doing what the industry dictated, which was to go out to a certain depth because there were more fish, so there were all these things that lined up. When Peter did that and he did not get the results he wanted, and then he got a word from Jesus that was countercultural, it was counterintelligence, it was counter responsible, it was counter logical, it didn't go with the industry standard, it wasn't supported by the data. The data didn't support the word that Peter got from Jesus. But Peter said, because you say so, Lord. Not because I've seen your results. Come on, Jesus. Not because, Jesus, I've seen you do a lot of fishing. Not because what you're telling me is this great insight that I never got before. And it makes sense. It didn't make sense. I've been out all night in the space where I should be able to get fish. Now I've come in where the water is shallower, where there shouldn't be enough fish, where scientifically speaking, mathematically speaking, financially speaking, psychologically speaking, what you're telling me to do, Jesus, doesn't make any sense. But because you say so, because I don't care that the water is shallow here, because I don't care that I've tried it before and I've had some success, because I don't care that the gurus are telling me to do it this way, but because you say so, Jesus, because I heard a word from you, because I recognize you as Jesus, because I heard your voice, because I know you are speaking to me, I'm gonna go ahead and do like you say. And you know what happened? So many fish in an unlikely space because he got a word from God and responded with obedience, not with hesitancy, not with perfectionism, not with procrastination, not with negotiating and going back and forth, and not with checking with his friends. He didn't turn around and look at the men who were with him and say, well, Jesus told me, come on, somebody. Well, Jesus told me to let the nets down. You think I should do that? Jesus told me to start a podcast. You think I should do that? Jesus told me to start a ministry. You think I should do what? Y'all think about me starting this ministry? Jesus told me to start a church. You think I should do that? Hey, friend, the Lord told me to fight for my marriage. You think I should do that? Hey, friend, the Lord told me to start giving. You think I should do that? No, that's not what Peter did. Peter heard a word from God. He had a relationship with God. He recognized the voice of God. He understood the sovereignty of God. He recognized the power of God. And he said, because you say so, because of who you are, because I know what you are capable of, because you have told me to do so, Jesus, I'm going ahead and do it. You don't necessarily make no sense. He probably had his eyebrows up, which is why he said, God, he said, you know, listen, Jesus, we was out here all night long. I done launched this program. Come on, Jesus, who we talking to? I done launched this program 5 times and ain't nobody signed up. And I did it, and I did some Facebook ads, and I did some Instagram ads, and my price was way lower, but you telling me to raise my price and to launch it during the time that they say it's not really good launch season. Now, I done did all that I know to do, but I recognize that my results are not the results that I hope for, because you say, Jesus, because you say so, Jesus, I'm going to do it. And so he did it. And there were so many, it broke the net above and beyond what he could imagine or think, in a place where he shouldn't have been able to get that many. How many of you got a word? My question is, what are you doing with that word? What does it look like? What steps are required? He needed the boat. He had the boat already. He had what he needed. He had the boat. He had the net. He had the men. All Peter needed to do at that time was to take the nets and drop them the way the nets are supposed to be dropped, on the side that Jesus told him to drop it on, in the spot that Jesus told him to do so. He had to get the net, drop the net in the water on the right side, and then collect the fish and bring them in. That's what his steps were. What are your steps? What steps are required? Who or what will you need? Maybe you have all the pieces like Peter did, but maybe you'll need somebody to help you bring in the fish. There were so many fish that men who were with him hopped out of their boats to help him bring in the catch that he had. So he needed some people, right? What is the first step you're going to take? The first step that he took was dropping the net. What is your first step? Let me give you another biblical example. He made water into wine, right? So what was the problem? They were out of wine. They wanted wine. What did they do? They invited Jesus in. They heard the instruction. Somebody write in the chat, instruction. Somebody write in the chat, instruction. They heard the instruction, which means they got a word from Jesus too, but this time we're going to call it instruction. They heard the instruction. And then they did. I know. It's crazy to me. You know, they heard the instruction and then they did the work. He said, do this. And then they did this. They got the jugs. They filled it with water. They dipped the water out of the jugs and then served it to whoever. They didn't need money. They used what they had as they were instructed, and their trust was displayed in their actions. Could people see that you trusted God if you didn't tell them? Could people, like, let's say your life was a movie, and it was a silent movie, and the only thing that we could hear, right? Maybe it's not silent, it's like semi-silent. The only thing as an audience that we could hear is the revelation and the instructions that God gave you, right? If we watched a movie where we, the audience, could only hear the instruction and the word that God gave you, when we watched the movie and you had no words, you couldn't speak to us, would we be able to see trust in God? Sometimes the only reason people know we trust God is because we keep saying we trust him. But if we shut up long enough, for a month, if we stop saying that we trusted him with our mouths, I wonder if those same people would be convinced that we trusted God based on our actions. I wonder. What actions will you take because of the word spoke to you via this month's study? What actions are you going to take because of the word that Jesus spoke to you during this study? Hop on over with us, right? I can't find it. Hop on over with us to Zoom. All right, we're going to get on Zoom and we are going to talk action steps. We're going to talk strategy and we're going to talk about support, right? And I don't mean in a theological way. I don't mean in theory. I mean, for those of you who show up and know what actions God is asking you to take and you're looking for strategy, most of the women in this congregation are business women, are entrepreneurs, are women who have done some of the things that you're trying to do and are going to be able to add some real value for your strategy, for the how-to steps, right? Some of you will need support, right? You'll need someone to do something that you can't do for yourself and you don't know where to go. That woman might be in this conversation. So this is, I know I'm saying come join the conversation. I know that's what it says there and that's what I'm saying. But what I'm really saying is come do this work with us. Come and get your strategy with us. Come and get some clarity with us. Come and get an action plan with us. We're not talking just to talk. So if you come and talk just to talk, put your hand down. You can come and listen. We ain't got time for that. We're about to put our faith to work so that next week, so in the coming days, we are doing what God is telling us to do. I hope this has blessed you. If it has blessed you, one, hit the like button on the video. Like, are you kidding me? Hit the like button on the video if you like the video. Hit the subscribe button. You think you hit the subscribe button? Just double check to make sure that you hit the subscribe button and then share. Like, subscribe, and share in any order, right? This particular video. And come and join us in the conversation on Zoom immediately following this broadcast. God, I just want to thank you for your word, for your instruction, how you speak to us as individuals. God, as we prepare to get in conversation, I pray that you would give us supernatural insight into what you're calling us to do. I pray that you would give us supernatural strategies, that you would give us divine downloads during this conversation, during this strategy session. God, we are inviting you into the strategy session because we know we are preparing to say yes to the call on our life, that we are saying yes to the assignment that you've given us, and that we intend to walk out our purpose, right? And we don't want to do that without you. In your son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. I love y'all. I'll see y'all on the Zoom. So just hop on over there. Bye.